Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So let me set the scene for you. The sun is absolutely splitting the sky. Sorry to mention it, here in Catalonia. Headed to the camp now, in fact, at the camp now campus. Stopped for a breather to talk to you. Before the presentation of Felipe Coutinho, it's going to happen in a variety of different situations here in this gigantic setting where there are tourists flooding around, but no families and kids because today's back to school day in Catalonia. So what's going to happen is Coutinho is going to be presented up in the Sala Roma, which is their sort of Rome suite to celebrate their Champions League that they won there, the treble, in fact, in 2009. It's a beautiful, elegant presidential suite, and we're going to get a first glimpse of him with the president, after which it's down to the pitch. Something I first did, I think, with the signing of Emmanuel Petit. It's interesting, particularly if you've never done this before. You get to go out onto the pitch with all the cameramen and stand there right on the hallowed Camp Nou as the player is presented. I guess there'll be many people here. Not as many as, say, for Ronaldinho, when I reckon there were 40,000 people and it was noisy. And I remember Frank Rijkaard being absolutely stunned. The coach came out onto the pitch to look up at the stands to say, I've never seen anything like this at Milan. And after his presentation there, and probably the obligatory keepy-uppy, it's then on down to the press conference where Coutinho, who, in my experience, is not the most expansive of speakers, he'll be questioned, no doubt, and the Barca board members who are there will be questioned about amounts and why did it take so long and what was the relationship with Liverpool, all that kind of stuff. And mostly we'll be left reading between the lines, I bet you, because that's the way of modern press conferences in general, unless Mourinho and Conte are involved. So that's what's going to be happening this morning. That's what I'm going to be bringing to you.
Welcome, big interview listeners, and a happy new year. On the other end of the line, we have live from Barcelona on a very big day for Football Club Barcelona, Graham Hunter.
Hello, and happy new year to all of you as well.
Graham Hunter's been a very busy man this morning. He has not been alone in spending time at the Camp Nou. Only one of you there cost north of 140 million, though, and it wasn't you, sir.
Yeah, a strange day. These big modern presentations bear no relationship whatsoever to what used to be, you know, player signs for new club, turns up, holds strip up in the air, holds scarf up in the air, local photographers take a couple of snaps, some desultory words in the 20-minute press conference, and everybody goes on with life. Now, this was a big sort of Barnum and Bailey, modern equivalent of a flea circus, whereby we were warned in advance that there would be, what, how many parts to it? There'd be the medical that we weren't allowed to go to, a signing ceremony in the presidential office that we weren't allowed to go to. But if you could dip into the FTP server, you could nick the images from Barcelona freely and use them in your newspapers, magazines, online, television. Neil, so that's part one. Part two, medical signing ceremony. Part three was going to be this presentation in the luxurious Sala Roma that I mentioned in my intro, and that was going to be like Let the Dog See the Rabbit, where the player and the president stand up on a stage and kind of wave to everybody, and there's a brief number of words, but it's your first camera images for those who've got very early deadlines. And the next part was to be on the pitch with the fans in the stand and sponsors on the grass and all this kind of stuff, followed by about 50 minutes later. And to be fair, there was Swiss timing today. It all kind of happened when it was supposed to. There was then going to be a half-hour press conference where the media could ask the questions. And it bears no relation to the first time I ever had the wit to attend one of these at the camp. Now, when I was on holiday, it would be, a good 17 years ago on holiday in Barcelona, and I happened to know that Emmanuel Petit was signing from Arsenal to Barcelona, and that at night the negotiations were going on long into the night, where the Barcelona offices were lit up and you could sit in the parking lot outside them and watch as various executives flitted by the windows and Emmanuel Petit flitted by the windows. And I thought it'd be a good idea to go and buy a 25-pack of beer to keep the local journalist sustained while I taught them the words to "He's fast, he's quick, his name's a porno flick, Emmanuel, Emmanuel." That move didn't go so well. I always wonder whether that Arsenal song following him to the Camp Nou that night that he was signing his papers had any amount of jinxing. But, the next day there was an on-pitch ceremony and a press conference, but it was much briefer. There were far fewer people in the stadium. There were far fewer journalists there. While Emmanuel Petit was keeping the ball up, Jerome Anderson, his agent, went across to the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Teddy Sheringham, north goal of the Camp Nou to take a penalty against one of his employees. Forgot he was wearing flat sort of hush puppy shoes and fell on his arse as he took the penalty, which I found hugely amusing. And then the Ronaldinho one, subsequently, whenever that was, 2003, again, as a journalist, I was on the pitch this time and standing next to Frank Rijkaard, watching him, even the manager turned out to see this, was a marker of what a much bigger spectacle it had become. But standing right next to Frank Rijkaard and chatting to him and watching him watch the crowd and say, "Bloody hell, I've never seen anything like this at the San Siro or Ajax. This is stunning." Even from that to this, when Coutinho is presented, there's been a gigantic emphasis on marketing. This was a gigantic spectacle. And the reason that I had to get across town early and be there is that there were 101 different media outfits accredited for the event, 161 journalists, plus sponsors, plus family of the agent, plus family of the player, and 43 different nationalities at the Camp Nou to cover the Brazilian joining the Catalan club from the English club and moving to Spain. So it was an international event, and I got there early to try and make sure that I had my accreditation, that I got the right position to watch the day unfold.
We're going to be breaking down exactly what the transfer means and a bit more about how it went down in our next podcast. This one, we're really just looking at what happened today, the sort of spectacle behind it all. You mentioned that connection with Ronaldinho, which is really interesting. I wonder if we even know at this point the exact scope of his legacy.
It's a really nice phrase that you use about scope and legacy, because You remind me of, I detailed the fact that I stood there with a Ronaldinho thing, and Coutinho said today that he was directly inspired by Ronaldinho, that when he was a kid back in Brazil, still wondering whether he had anything like the same skills as Ronaldinho, probably still wondering if he was genuinely going to make it as a professional footballer himself. He said today that he sat at home and watched Ronaldinho take the Camp Nou and then take Barcelona, then take Spanish football by storm, and eventually take the world by storm, world player in 2005-06 as they win the Champions League. And a happy footballer, a footballer that made people fall back in love with the game. And you've reminded me, when you talk about those kind of reverberations and whether we'll continue to see that for some time to come, back in those days when Ronaldinho was joining, again, there was a car park scene, just like with Emmanuel Petit, and you can see it in that wonderful film that's made of, and they fluke it, they make this documentary film. I think it goes on to win the Montreux Rose for Best Documentary of the Year. And effectively, they say to the incoming Barca board, "Let us chronicle what happens. Let us be a fly on the wall." It's very good. And you can just see a denim a denim jacketed me, my denim jacket, sort of knocking on the window for Ansoriano's car as the cameras are following Ronaldinho out of the offices late at night as he's signed, just a la Emmanuel Petit. It doesn't happen like that now. With Coutinho, it's all been done in five-star hotels in another country and done by lawyers and faxes. It's not all negotiated, thrashed out in the last night. And as Ronaldinho's leaving, the cameras are tracking, and they catch me talking to Ferran Soriano, who's the vice president at that time of Football Club Barcelona, and saying, listen, can we talk about this? Will you give me a chat, an interview? And him going, yeah, sure, why not? Change days, better days. And the words he used to me, he was known really for two phrases at that stage, Ferran Soriano, who's now, MD, chief executive, Manchester City, and therefore very successful currently. He talked about a virtuous cycle and a vicious cycle. He talked about the virtuous cycle. They wanted to haul the moribund club that Barcelona was, he and Marc Ingla and Joan Laporta and the ill-fated doesn't cover the I don't like Sandro Rosset, him or anything he stands for, but he was one of the vice presidents in those days too. And they wanted to drag the club forward economically, in social terms, in marketing terms, and in football terms above all. And Soriano was like, we're in a slump, we're in a vicious cycle, we want to turn it into a virtuous cycle. And what you do is you sign players, which, you know, inspire the club and win trophies and bring sponsors and make people fall in love with Football Club Barcelona. And the virtuous cycle starts to chug the other way. If you think about cogs and wheels on a Swiss watch, one wheel's going in one direction, the other wheel's going in the other direction. This was moving away from the moribund vicious cycle because, second phrase, Ferran called Ronaldinho their rock and roll signing, Neil. And by which it could have sounded like just some glib LA nonsense. But maybe thinking back 14 years, maybe it did to me when he first explained his view about the deal in a non-football sense to me. But he called it the rock and roll signing because he wanted it to be the clang of a guitar that echoed across the world, that people went, wow, look at that. Look at how they got this guy. They beat Manchester United for him. He's thrilling to watch. He plays with a smile on his face. He makes it worth, and this is a link again to today, he makes it worth going back to the Camp Nou. This was the theory behind it. And Rijkaard had inherited a side which was, you know, gathering what anything from 52,000, 53,000 to 62,000, 63,000 for average games to the Camp Nou. And over the years, that average went up to high 80,000s under the best of Frank Rijkaard and the best of Pep Guardiola, and often 90s. Guess what the attendance was for Barça Levante on the day that Coutinho's signing was made totally formal? Well, it was about 55,000 people on a Sunday at a time of day in the middle of the afternoon when, really, Barça Levante is not a 99,000 crowd, but it really honestly should have been higher than 80,000, given that you're watching Messi and Suarez together. Andrés Iniesta is in the latter years of his career. If you're a Barça fan, you should have been there, and they weren't. So that rock and roll signing, that impact, the reverberations from an exciting, a newly exciting Camp Nou with a brilliant Ronaldinho, who then was an inheritor of the Romario and Ronaldo tradition. There was a little kid sitting at home, Coutinho, watching that and going, oh, baby, one day me. And here he is. And your point was, until when will those Ronaldinho reverberations keep going and inspiring people? Don't know. But for sure, there'll be some kid at home in Brazil or maybe in Scunthorpe or Falkirk looking at Coutinho and going, wow, Coutinho and Messi, Coutinho and Iniesta, I'm inspired. I want a piece of that, because sometimes that's how football works, and that's certainly a part of why we went through that huge marketing farrago today, because it isn't simply about impact with passes and beating defenders and goals and trophies. It's about illusion. It's about dream. It's about, you know, the fun of the fun fair.
So that was one point of inspiration that Coutinho mentioned today, Ronaldinho. And then the other name that seemed to get him most excited, we're going to hear a little bit of the clip coming up right now, was one of the current players.
You're right, Neil. And I really like the way you've set that up. I don't know if you were watching it live. You certainly weren't there with me. He's actually, if my memory serves me, he's speaking in Spanish, although he often spoke in Portuguese during the day, a little bit of English. But when he was asked about the link with Suarez, there were a couple of interesting things that we'll talk about later. When he talked about Messi, he was hugely respectful and I think a little bit excited too. But when Iniesta, which is who he's going to speak about now, the clip we're going to hear, when he came up, there was reverence in his voice and he immediately said, he's a genius.
Y eso también para mí es un gran honor poder convivir con él, aprender con él. Y claro, hablando de posiciones, yo lo que más me gusta es estar ahí con el grupo, poder jugar. Esto es una cuestión del entrenador, cómo prefiere, cómo quiere el equipo. Lo que hago yo es trabajar siempre muy duro, muy fuerte para que esté a disposición y hacer bien cuando esté en el campo.
And what you heard him saying in that clip was that I'm here to learn. Now, I like that. When you're Barcelona's most expensive player ever, and the currently, until the Mbappe deal is sorted out, the second most expensive footballer ever, I don't think you always expect that athlete to say, I'm here to learn. And then to delineate a footballer, and it's not Messi, and it's not Busquets, it's or Dembele or Suarez, it's Iniesta. That will go down well. He's captain. He's a legend here. And Coutinho also in that clip said, look, I'll play where I'm told to. And it wasn't just I'm a utility player, I'm at the boss's disposition. He said, I'll play left midfield, I'll play right midfield, I'll play up front if I'm told to. My goal has always been, and what's made me, is to be fit, to be ready, to go where I'm asked to. And it backs up, Neil, because for Tite in the Brazil team, he plays right midfield, predominant left midfield for Liverpool, and clearly he can play 10, and he has goal-scoring ability too. But for a guy who's right-footed, he's quite happy, as is Iniesta. You know, they're not identicals, but they're similar. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, as you pointed out, on Wednesday. We're going to look at the footballing side of this, the implications for Barca and for Liverpool and for Coutinho and for Brazil. But that answer was him saying, I'm ready to be what the team needs me to be. And while I'm here, boy, I'm going to learn from Iniesta.
I wonder if this is going to be a good time to go to Xavi Riera then, because he basically talks about being a medium-term Iniesta replacement. That is the sort of the kind of 30,000 feet view of this transfer.
Yeah, you're spot on. Xavi Riera is a really well-renowned football analyst. He's a good guy. I've worked with him for years on television. What you're about to hear is his view of why the deal has happened and also a standing back from the day and not looking at the razzmatazz, but trying to think through about how this is going to work. Xavi, you know what's expected of a footballer, Football Club Barcelona.
Yeah.
Tell me why you think that Coutinho is or is not the right guy. Forget about the price.
Okay.
Just tell me about the footballer. Right decision, wrong decision.
Okay, I think it's a good decision because Barcelona have to think in the future, okay? Because Barcelona is thinking about the future with Iniesta. Iniesta is an amazing player, but he cannot play his best.
He's
football.
33 now,
yes,
right, already.
Yes, exactly. So that's it. So maybe Iniesta is quite perfect for one or maximum 2 years. So Coutinho it's an important piece of this cheese called football. So I think Coutinho it's an important player for Barcelona for the next 5 years, of course, but maybe not for this season, but at the beginning of the next season is very important.
What do you imagine about his connection with Suarez, Messi, Dembele?
Yeah, they know each other in Liverpool. They play very well. I think the connection between Coutinho and Messi could be amazing. And I think as well Suarez needs someone to
give him supply.
Yes, to give it supply and to I don't know how to say it.
Say in Espanol.
Yes, with Suarez and the midfield need to be very closer. So Coutinho.
The midfield needs to be tight behind Suarez,
yes,
and making
yes.
spaces, making passes for
this
him.
This is the perfect connection between the midfielders and Luis Suarez, Coutinho.
So, in resumen, you're going to enjoy yourself, maybe?
Yes, I think we all the coolest will enjoy Coutinho a lot.
Enjoy talking to you. Thanks, man.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Xavi Riera, Neil, was optimistic, and I think, speaking not out and out like a fan with a typewriter, but speaking as somebody who sort of passionately cares about Football Club Barcelona and has seen magicians come and add to this squad and has understood the need for, you know, things. I think it's easy to be naive about Andres Iniesta, given that this has been one of his most powerful seasons, where he's starting games more regularly, when he's playing well, when he's pairing with Busquets brilliantly, when the midfield's not being dragged about because the midfield now is overpopulated by Valverde's tactics, and where there's, what, a 16-point lead on Madrid. It's easy to look at Iniesta and forget that a few months ago people were looking at him and seeing the creaks and seeing the date of birth. He's 34 in, I guess, the summer, halfway through 2018 at least, and he started only 71 of the last 131 La Liga matches. So the current upsurge in appearance rate is unusual given the last two, three seasons, and will go down again. And therefore, Xavi was talking about a future where, let me introduce you now to Pippo Ricci, who you're going to hear from, an Italian journalist based in Spain, working for Gazzetta. Very good, very high quality, very astute. But Neil, he had quite a different view of what might happen or the challenge facing this new signing.
Okay, as we compose the big inside view, I'm with Filippo Ricci from Gazzetta, who's seen and learned more about Spanish football than I'll ever know. Filippo, why is Coutinho at the camp now? Why have Barcelona signed Philippe Coutinho?
Because the player wanted to come, as Klopp said, and I think it's an improvement for the squad. If we can say something about this team, is that possibly the bench wasn't that deep, they didn't have so much apart from the first team. I think now they have even too much, because if you think that there are six shirts between three are taken by Busquets, Messi and Suarez, and there are three, four.
He's a bench player for you?
No, but there are just three shirts, four: Iniesta, Coutinho, Rakitic, Paulinho and Dembélé.
And from what you've seen of Coutinho, when he plays in top form, you don't have to pick the 11. I'm giving you the 11. Let's say these days he's in the 11. Does he have the right things, brain, touch, vision, for Barca or not?
Yes, but everything has to be proved. Coutinho has won nothing. He has won a Coppa Italia and Serie B in Brazil. So now you can pay. You know, he comes here, and I don't know, supposedly he has to come in for Iniesta. Iniesta's won, 30 or 33 titles. You know, he's won two. This is, you know, you always have to see what a player can achieve in a new team, a new environment and everything. I think he's a very good player, but they paid far too much. We'll have to see how he adapts. Paulinho was a great acquisition, was perfect for Barca, despite what the people here were thinking. I think he can really succeed, but the price is very high. And the style of play, the expectation is enormous.
So thank God it's not our money. So from Phil Ricci to Phil Coutinho, the battle of the Phils Coutinho, the pressure is on. Grazie, people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So we're getting an idea of this transfer in footballing terms and maybe in business terms for FC Barcelona there. And I think you've already given us a little bit of the pomp of the day. What won't we see on those little TV packages that we see on Sky Sports News today? What went on away from the camera?
Yeah, you're touching on the theme now that used to be so great about when you're a reporter from a newspaper and you get sent somewhere, you're happy because things happen. Now, I'm not talking about earth-shattering stuff here. But for example, when you go to this big corporate thing, it's very much sort of white bread and spam, not beautiful braised lamb and lovely freshly toasted home baked brown bread. It's kind of processed and formulaic until certain things happen. So I'd already mentioned that the start of the day was up in Sala Roma, which is a kind of quite plush, almost sumptuous suite in the Camp Nou, presidential suite, where in fact it's very nice when pre-Christmas the president has the media in for his, you know, thanks for being there, fellas, address just before Christmas. And admittedly, there are a cup or two of cava and a couple of canapés, but it wasn't cava or canapés, it was Coutinho today. So the set was built in this suite, and the set's built a little bit, a tiny version of Hollywood, and it looks very nice up front. It's a backdrop that's got Coutinho on it and Nike and blah, blah, blah. A little stage for all the snappers and the cameramen to be standing up a little bit elevated to be looking down on President Bartomeu and Coutinho. And it's well enough put together, the kind of this technical stage for everybody to stand on, and we, the, you know, the onlookers, just to stand beside. But if you look behind the stage, I love this. I'll have a little kick in there, see what there is. And there's a beautiful silver replica of the European Cup. And I can't, because I've filmed with the European Cup so often, I can't remember whether UEFA, as well as giving you the European Cup for a year, gives you the replica, or whether you go and make it yourself, but they all look absolutely beautiful and identical. So there's this thing that they're all, that the whole Coutinho thing's meant for, even though he's barred from the Champions League this year because he played for Liverpool in the group stage against Sevilla and so on and so forth. The idea for Barcelona, even above winning La Liga, is to be champions of Europe, to try and close the distance between them and Real Madrid. It's where the money is. It's about the money, stupid. And therefore, Coutinho is not the end, but, you know, the road towards the end goal is winning the European Cup. But the European Cup, somebody in the set design department has just come in and thought, well, what's this European Cup doing lying around? It's in the way. We'll hide it behind the backdrop on the kind of, like you see in Hollywood, when you see a, you know, a piece of scenery, and you look behind it and it looks real in the front. Behind it, there's all the strats and splices and wooden bars, and somebody's just taken the European Cup and clunked it there and hidden it away. And I thought, there's an image there. There's a metaphor for something. Forgetting about the real object. Anyway, who knows? It made me smile. It made me smile. Downstairs on the pitch, you know, it's just a nice piece of action to watch, in that I go back to my theme that what used to happen was club buys striker, striker turns up, striker holds scarf in the air, you know, 15 minutes of questions and it's on with business. In this instance, particularly with South American footballers, I think, who kind of feel that if you're being transferred for 140 million euros and you're going to be paid 10 million euros a season, maybe 11, then it's not only life-changing, but it changes the life of everybody around you. So what we saw was, it was a little bit like the scene of the March of the Siamese Children and the King and I, when various relatives and children surrounding the representative, Kier Jarabchin, traipsed out up the Camp Nou, steps onto the pitch from the dressing room area, followed by, in due course, any number of, I don't know whether they're brothers, brothers-in-law, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents, or whoever it is. The Coutinho clan are there in force. And that's quite nice to see. I've nothing against that. The fact that it used to be just a striker turns up, signs in a dotted line, waves at the local reporters and buggers off, has now become, you know, a big social drama. And that's okay when so much money is in play. And everybody wants a taste of the Camp Nou, even if you're related to a famous footballer. That's fine. There's one little funny moment, because all the kids, one's a baby in arms, sound asleep. All the kids behaved themselves. They were all wearing anoraks. It was chilly, it was brisk for Barcelona. All of them have got Coutinho Barca jerseys over the anoraks with the name branded on the back. And everything's going fine. And umpteen kids come up the stairs and sit in their place in the dugout, the Barca home dugout. Until one guy, he would have been about 7 or 8 maybe, dark-haired, wearing great big Elvis Costello specs and having none of it, dressed like the rest of his brethren, anorak, hood, but Barca top over, ran away from what looked like a granny. The age gap looked like a granny, young granny, and ran up the steps and stomped around in the grass in front of all the photographers, as if to say, this is my show, I'm not waiting. And she's yelling, come back here, and chases up after him, and he makes a dart to try and get away. She gets him by the arm, gives him a clip around the ear, his petted lip wobbles, and then he falls into place. I like that. And by the time Coutinho comes out and does his ball juggling, and the crowd are urged to shout, Coutinho, Coutinho, and the Barca hymno, the anthem, is played. By the side, this is just my little ironic sort of sour view of life. By the side, the sponsor, let's call them, they're Audi, has got on the side of the pitch, driven on the side of the pitch, which is a rare enough thing to see, one of these 4x4 hugely expensive kind of, they're not Jeeps, but you know what I'm talking about, black. Every player gets one. They've got one set aside for Coutinho. And the sponsor's kind of hopping from foot to foot until the whole Barca thing is done so that Coutinho can be dragged over to the right of the tunnel on the side of the pitch and be presented with his car and made to stand there with the door half open. You know that driver just got out of the driver's seat kind of shot, and an Audi trying to get their moment in the sun. And you're watching it and you're thinking, yeah, just like in football, second is nowhere, close but no cigar. That isn't the shot that's going to be making the newspapers or the internet anywhere around the world tomorrow. It's going to be about the press conference, or it's going to be about waving to the crowd, or him and Bartomeu, the president, holding up the shirt for the first time, playing keepy uppy, and then, we don't need a shot with a car. So that made me smile. But when we went to the press conference, there were, again, little moments of brightness in this corporate mush. One was as all the family come out and sit in the front row. One, his wife, Coutinho's wife and daughter, very young daughter, right in front of me. I didn't position myself. They sat in front of me. And as Coutinho eventually comes out, then the little girl, who obviously hasn't been quite aware of what's going on and doesn't know why she's been separated from her father, "Dad! Daddy!" And he gives her a little friendly wave. And that felt kind of cute. Sorry if that smashes up my cynical Scottish reputation. And then there's a moment when the vice president, Jordi Mestre, who's presenting the player in the press conference, decides that the way to make this rock and roll, to make this sexy, Neil, to try and capture the emotion of spending all this money on this brilliant footballer, starts in a kind of Wikipedia way. "Philippe Coutinho began his career with..." And you're like, no, mate, you've got that wrong. And after a very short exposition where everybody's going, what? And he's not even talking properly to the mic. It's not even reaching the back of the room. He goes, "But we've got a video to show the excellence of our new guy." And you think, oh, for that, that's fantastic. That's what you should be doing. And he presses the button. Of course, nothing happens. Now, that's okay. We're all used to the technological world where things don't happen immediately all the time. And they press the button again and again and again, and it doesn't happen and it doesn't happen and it doesn't happen. And then eventually what the next thing that goes on is, like, it begins to show some action, some match action from Coutinho, with Coutinho having to turn around and crane his neck to the huge screen that's above and behind him, because there aren't screens all over the place, but there's no sound. So it's like that little part of Spitting Images where John Major and Norma are at home. You can hear the ticking of the clock. They're both totally grey, faces, clothes, hair, grey. And they're picking up a plate of peas and, "Yes, dear, this is very nice," and all that. So there's no sound. The images of the football are not doing enough justice to the excitement of the affair. And look, all in all, by the end, when journalists were told, "Say your name, say your media," and you've got one question each. Of course, as soon as the first maverick gets the mic, he's like, "I'm Alfredo Martinez from whatever radio," and he asks three questions. And you see the master of ceremonies going, "It's only one question. Somebody take the mic off him." And there's this sort of thud as, way at the back of the room, you can hear somebody tackling Alfredo Martinez and forcibly removing the mic from him. So maybe that hasn't made any of us, any of the rest of you laugh, but it did make me laugh, Neil.
Okay, you mentioned the press conference and the questions there, and you also spoke earlier about the scope of an event like this and the many nationalities which attend. We're going to play a couple of questions now that kind of reflect the impact that this transfer has had in England. And it's at Liverpool where he's left something of an impression, which kind of talks to the questions that the two journalists we're about to hear from asked, which isn't about what's ahead of Coutinho at Barcelona. It's very much about what he's left behind.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there were French, there were Brazilian, there were Uruguayans who spoke. B. Jensen was there, Sid Lowe was there, I was there. I think I was the only Scot. But, you're going to hear Neil Ashton of Sky asking Coutinho, did it embarrass him the way that Nike made a mistake by announcing him as a Barca player several days ahead of when the deal was formally even agreed, never mind rubber stamped. And you're going to hear Gary Cotterill as well talking about the you know, does Coutinho have a message for the Liverpool fans talking about how he left things, the player, with Jurgen Klopp?
Can I just ask, firstly, your conversation, your last conversation with Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, how that was? And secondly, when the pictures were released of the Nike shirt, the Barcelona shirt, with your name on it at the start of the year, did that cause you any problems? Did that cause you any issues?
Of course.
Sim, a última conversa que tive com o Klopp foi agradecendo.
Philip, Gary, Sky Sports. I know you've paid tribute to Liverpool and the fans in Spanish. I know your English is very good. Can you say anything to Liverpool fans in English, please?
I want to try. I just would like to thank you, all the fans, all the staff, all the players for the years I lived here. For sure, I gave everything I could. Unfortunately, we couldn't win, but I lived 5 years. My family was very happy there, so. I just would like to thank you again and wish all the best for this.
So Coutinho seems to have handled all that reasonably well in the kind of corporate and conventional mode which was expected of him on a day like today. Did he say anything that made your ears prick up? You know, did he say anything that excited you that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, I don't mind making the admission, Neil, that, you know, as a reporter and as a neutral who appreciates football, I'll be expecting Coutinho to play a little bit more scintillatingly than he spoke. I'm not being critical of him in that I'm not saying he's a dull man, but some of the context is that, one, he's admitted that he hasn't slept very much over the last several days because of the stress and the excitement and the, you know, the pressure on him as a family man with everybody gathered around him, what's happening. And there being, as there are in all transfers, whether minor or mega, a hiatus period where things aren't quite happening as quickly or there's maybe a little problem to get over. And today, I would say, as a witness to, you know, the parts that haven't been televised, he looked occasionally a little bit sort of dazed and a little bit, if not overwhelmed, certainly keen for the razzmatazz to finish so that he could get on, first of all, with getting fit. Because I mentioned that the medical began at 8:30, but he was in the stadium long before that medical to be ready for it, to warm up for it, which was a smart piece of business. The communication for his medical status came through about half an hour before the whole public relations side of it started, and it said he's out for 20 days. Now, that means it's Barca being clear he ain't playing in the Cup against Celta this week in the return leg, game balanced 1-1 from Balaidos. I suppose if Barca were to go out, there's another trophy that Coutinho can't compete for, given that he's ineligible for the Champions League. But, you know, he looked a guy who was aware that these were his responsibilities. He was friendly and smiley at great stages, but he wasn't sensationally electric and buzzing with excitement. But he did say one or two things, and one of them was that, you know, he confirmed what Jordi Mestre, the sporting vice president, said, where Mestre explained on the press conference podium that the deal was cheaper now than it was in summer. And he hinted that, although by his own words, we've made a deal with Liverpool that we are bound not to release figures. He hinted that it had been Liverpool who'd made a sacrifice. Now, he also said, and thank you to you, Felipe, for the economic sacrifice you made. There's a story running in Mundo Deportivo, who led the way on this tale in recent weeks. Their story, Neil, has been that Coutinho has been willing to invest 10 million euros of his own in the deal. Now, that won't all be hard cash. That'll be dropping his salary. That'll be a kind of gross accumulated figure. It'll be a drop in his own salary. It'll be a drop in signing ons. It'll be a drop in the agent's commission. It'll be a drop in something that Liverpool owed him if he left early, etc., etc., etc. I would bet you that not a great deal of hard cash has gone from, you know, Banco Coutinho to Banco Barcelona, but it has meant that there's a 10 million change in the deal, which other people have been able to sacrifice in order for Barcelona to say, I guess, truthfully, we've had to, our outlay is less now than it would have been in the summer. I think it's also clear, Coutinho said thanks to Liverpool for, you know, being good on your promise. And the implication directly there is that when he actively wanted away in the summer, and Liverpool, one, weren't entertaining bids, and two, didn't see anything like the right money from Football Club Barcelona, the deal was to Coutinho, not now, son, but if you play your part, backing harmonies, bass, drums, in the Fab Four, you know, with Sané and with Firmino and with Salah from August until December, then if the money's right, we'll play ball with you. And I think he's saying thank you for Klopp authoring that, and the Fenway Sports Group backing it up, being good to their promise. These two things were relatively interesting, and so was the little giveaway that, you know, I don't know what tapping up really means anymore, because there are certain rules that everybody knows are not followed about who can speak to whom when a player's under contract. And just like Atletico Madrid recently wrapped Barca over the knuckles for the guy they'd like to spend 100 million on in June, and probably will, Atleti said, hands off our player, show us some respect. Coutinho said today that, yeah, he's been bombarded with players from Barca phoning him to say, come on board, or it's great over here, and he's phoned Neymar to ask about it. But he also said that Luis Suarez is his friend, not just an ex-teammate, and Suarez found a house which happens to be next to me and Messi, not me, Suarez. So it's a three in a row deal where it's now Coutinho, Suarez and Messi as direct neighbours out near the coast, about 15 minutes on the coast, 15 minutes south of Barcelona. And, you know, Suarez was putting down his own money and guaranteeing the house so nobody else could get it, while Coutinho was nowhere like confirmed, nowhere near being confirmed as a Barca player. So how does that look in retrospect as far as the rules concerns? It looks crap. How did it tell today in terms of a little anecdote? Quite nicely. There were one or two smiles. There were one or two interesting things, but I go back to my theme, Neil. When he starts playing, it'll all be a lot more exciting, I think.
And that's about that for a very busy day at Football Club Barcelona. But we're going to do another podcast on Wednesday of this week. We're going to dig deep into what this means for Barcelona in football terms and maybe even business terms. That's going to come your way on Thursday morning, which means you have about 48 hours to become a socio of the Big Interview, because only socios will get to listen to that episode.
Yeah, so for the Thursday podcast, can we talk about the football side, Neil? Can we talk about the sporting implications for Barca, for Busquets, for Dembele, for Iniesta, for Coutinho, Suarez, Messi, for Real Madrid, for Liverpool too? And for those who sign up and become socios, and for you lovely existing socios, I'll tell you what Fenway Sports Group specifically said to the Liverpool staff about their work around Coutinho, when they bought him, how they developed him, and right now. I'll be able to tell you that exclusively on our Big Inside View podcast for socios only, out on Thursday morning.
To become a socio and get about 8 hours every month of exclusive content ad-free, go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter. But for now, thank you very much for listening to this free episode. And thank you, Graham.
For the moment, from me, from Barcelona, after a long day at the camp now. Adios. Hasta luego.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.